Bibles, and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. It's where we will be as we continue talking about spiritual health and spiritual growth in our lives, growing spiritually and growing spiritually the right way. There is a right way to grow spiritually. There is a way that it is not correct. Even though there are people who tend to look at growing spiritually, that my spiritual life is based upon solely and strictly what I do on the outside. For instance, when I find myself in a situation, how I respond to the situation. But one of the things that you need to be careful of is sometimes the way we respond in a situation is determined by who we may be around. And so when we're around other believers and we react some way in a situation, oftentimes it'll be, ooh, I'm in this environment here, so I need to make sure that I'm a Christian, so I need to act like a Christian. Really? Okay. Or we are about ready to say something. And sometimes, let me ask you a question. Have anybody here, you ever said something and as soon as it got out, you were like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. It's too late. I can't get the words back inside of my mouth. Sure we have. And sometimes what we say is dependent upon who we're around. And sometimes those words are not words that should be there. Or, here's another one for you. We have this list. And this list sometimes is our list, but it's also added to by, and I'm going to tell you something, churches are good at doing this, is to have the church list, so that you go and mark off all of the squares. And as a result of all of that, well, I must be spiritually healthy because I was able to check off every block. Really? Well, I want you to think about something with me this morning. What we say, what we do, how we react to situations, am I checking off the to-do list? Not realizing that outward works or simply the reflection of our hearts. Be careful with that statement. I've heard people use that statement and they say, well, you know what happens on the outside is always indicative of what's on the inside in the heart. That is not necessarily correct. And here's the reason being. On the outside, we can appear to be spiritual, but the heart is not where it should be. Because we're attempting to do things that make us look good, but God knows the real you. God knows the real me, and God knows the real answer to everything. And so, understanding and realizing that our life spiritually is much deeper than that. Well, Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, where hopefully you have turned to now or made your way to, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 is where we will be. After spending 3 weeks in Thessalonica, that's all that Paul spent in Thessalonica was 3 weeks. He was there 3 Sabbaths. And oh, by the way, guess what happened to Paul? He was only there for 3 weeks, intending to stay longer, but he got run out of town. You know why he got run out of town? Because he was stirring up the folks in the town. You know what he was stirring them up with? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they were being stirred up. And so Paul gets run out of Thessalonica. And one of the things that he does is he sends Timothy back to check on the church at Thessalonica. But before we go there, hold your place in 1 Thessalonians and let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 gives us the account of what happened in Thessalonica with Paul. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse number 1. And I want you to notice what happened. We have a description or a recording of this particular event. Beginning in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 17. Notice as Luke shares with us. Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, if you remember a few weeks back, one of the things that I said about Paul, even though Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he took the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ primarily to Gentiles, everywhere that Paul had the opportunity and he could, and where one was available, when he went into a new place, he always went to the synagogue first. And so as he came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue in Thessalonica with Jews. And so guess where Paul goes first off? He goes to the synagogue that's in Thessalonica. So while he is there, he is going to share with them from the scripture. Notice verse 2. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them. For 3 Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, or for 3 weeks that he was there, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I'm proclaiming to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and they joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks or Gentiles, and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and they set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also, and Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. You know, you would think after a couple of times of going into the synagogue and being run out of town that you'd probably think to yourself, "I probably ought to not go back to the synagogue." No, Paul was driven. Paul was driven something deep inside of him. And let me tell you where that drive came from. It came from Paul's heart, because his heart had been changed. And so Paul is driven from that. So when he goes to Berea, guess what? The first place he goes when he gets to Berea is to the synagogue. Verse 11. "And now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." What an example for us today. We ought to be known for that. To do what? To examine the scripture, to see if what we're hearing is according to the word of God or not. Verse 12, "Therefore many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek or Gentile women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well." And notice what they came doing: agitating and stirring up the crowds. "Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. And now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left." Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. So here's the picture for you. Paul was in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. He was run out of town. He went to Berea. In Berea, the Thessalonians, the Jews from Thessalonica, came stirring up the crowd once again. So they escort Paul. They send him and take him to Athens. Silas and Timothy remain in Berea for a short period of time. Thus we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, and we're going to pick up the account. But I want to share something with you. Paul is getting ready to send Timothy to Thessalonica to check on the believers who were in Thessalonica. And let me say this, one of the things that Paul is going to do when he sends Timothy to the believers in Thessalonica, let me just share something with you. You know, oftentimes we think that the success of the church today is based on the number of buildings that may be there, the numbers that occupy the pews or the chairs that are there, the number of programs or the number of ministries that may be being done outside of the buildings of the church. But my dear friend, let me say this to you this morning. That is not the measure of success when it comes to God. One of the things that Paul is going to do in sending Timothy back to the believers that were in Thessalonica was not to check on any buildings, to see if they had moved into a building yet, to see how many people were coming to the meetings, not to see how many programs that they had put in place, not to determine how many ministries were there. Paul sent Timothy back to check on one thing. And let me say this to you this morning. Our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being, is also marked by this same marking that Paul is going to ask Timothy to go to Thessalonica to check. And let's pick up in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica and notice what it says. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. Remember Acts 17? Paul was left in Athens. He remained in Athens alone by himself. Silas and Timothy were in Berea. And so therefore, Paul said, we thought it was best that I be in Athens alone. Verse 2. And so we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ. Now, there is something that I want you to notice in verse number 2. Why did Paul send Timothy back to the believers that were in Thessalonica? You find in verse number 2. To strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Now drop down and look at verse number 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your what? Your faith. For fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Look down at verse number 7. For this reason, brethren, in all of our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. And then down in verse number 10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. If you notice anything in chapter 3, there is nothing about buildings, there is nothing about number of people, there is nothing about programs, there is nothing about... Paul sent Timothy to check on their faith. Where is their faith? And I will say this to you today, as far as the church is concerned, we've been through a lot. We've been through a great deal. And I will tell you, last night at 9:30, my phone's going off last night at 9:30, and we had ones that we... found out last night because of illness and such were not going to be in their places this morning, and people that we, you know, that we count on here for different things, and I'm sitting there and I'm beginning to think, you know, my soul, what's going to happen? We're going to get there Sunday morning and none of this stuff's going to work, and we're not going to be able to have church, and we're not going to be able to do anything. And about 15 minutes in that, God got a hold of my heart and he said, what in the world have you been studying and reading about for a week? Where is he? Where is God? God said, I need to get your attention here just a minute. You need to understand, I'm still here. Whether a camera doesn't work, whether a sound system doesn't work, whether or not it goes out live stream or not, whether or not there's a screen back here, whether or not any of that's in place, does it prevent us from worshiping our risen Savior any less than we would when we meet here with all of that? My dear friend, I'm afraid today we have become so comfortable and we've got so used to the programs and all the stuff that's in place that we've missed the most important part. And I will say this to you. Our services, all the technology that we have, all of that that's in place, all the live streaming, okay? That doesn't make the checklist when it comes to God. What we need to understand today, what's important to our spiritual health, is where our faith is. Where's our faith? Hey, virus, the COVID virus. It's ramping up. More and more becoming infected with the coronavirus. And oh, by the way, there's one more strain behind it and the possibility of another one behind that that's even more aggressive than the current virus that we have out there today. So what are we going to do? Panic and just absolutely shrivel up and cry, oh, it's me, or oh my, where, you know, what's going to happen to me? My folks, listen to me. My intent today, based on God leading in my heart all week, is to encourage your heart and to strengthen you in your faith. To understand and realize that what we're seeing today is temporary. There are things much greater for you and I today that have eternal ramifications versus temporary things. Where is our faith? Paul was more concerned about the believers in Thessalonica and their faith than anything else surrounding them and who they were. Timothy was sent to help strengthen and to encourage the believers that were inside of Thessalonica, and to encourage them and strengthen them in their what? Their faith. Well, what about Paul? I want you to notice a couple of things that Paul said as we make our way down through this passage this morning. And let me say this, a strong faith is built upon the knowledge and the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something, you don't have anything to build on and grow on if you don't build it and grow on this right here. It's the Word of God. My dear friend, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. What is important today is, what does the Word of God say? There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. There's going to be testing. And I hate to tell you this, when you got saved, God didn't promise you that you were going to have a life of comfort. That was not in the agreement. But here's what he did promise, that in those difficulties, in those trials, in those testings, in the distress that you find yourself in, he said, I will be there with you. I will walk through it with you. And oh, by the way, if that's not enough, here's what he did. He gave us the Holy Spirit who lives with inside of us. And that's not enough. He gave us the Word of God. So how do we grow spiritually? The way that we grow spiritually is eating the Word of God on a regular daily basis, watching and allowing our faith to grow in the understanding that we have, and then living that out in our lives each and every day. That's how we grow spiritually. So when trials come and testings come and difficulties come, we find our rest in Him, not in ourselves. Spiritual health. Timothy was to come alongside of the believers in Thessalonica and motivate them to live out that knowledge and understanding. You know, Paul said many times, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I press toward that mark. He said, I run in a race. He said, I bring my body into subjection on a daily basis. Not every once a week or once a month, but it's every single day. Why? Because Paul wrestled with the flesh and the spirit. In Romans chapter number 7, you'll find, and you can go read that, where it was a struggle for Paul himself. Paul said, the things that I ought to do, he said, I don't do. And the things I ought not to do, he said, those are the things that I do. And Paul came to a point in his life when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But it's about our faith. See, here's the key. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's a heart issue. And I keep saying this to folks, and I know sometimes I sound like a broken record, and I know some people just get absolutely annoyed with me. Well, Brother Robert, so-and-so and such, and this and this and this and this. And I said, let me tell you something. The only way it's going to change is when the heart changes. It's a heart issue, my dear friend. It's a heart attitude. Us growing spiritually, we're only going to grow spiritually to the point that we allow our hearts to. We're only going to grow to a spiritual point as we allow our faith to grow. And your faith is only going to grow as much as you allow the Word of God to come into your heart and to change your heart and to change you for who you are. That's how that process works. But when a believer's walk with the Lord starts to break down, often, when it starts to kind of pull back, it's generally a sign, it's a breakdown of the heart. Look at verse 3 through verse 5 again with me. So Paul says, I sent you Timothy to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. So, verse 3, that no one would be disturbed, that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. In other words, we knew this was coming. We knew it was going to happen. And I guarantee you that Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, okay, when God absolutely transformed his life and his heart, Paul had no idea what was ahead of him. Paul did not know what was coming. Yeah, this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, concerned about their faith. Yeah, this is the same one who was run out of town, who was stoned, who was beaten, who was also shipwrecked, who was bitten by a serpent and almost died. Yes, this guy. And Paul said, I'm concerned about your faith, to strengthen and encourage your faith. And my dear friend, if I could help you with something today, and that's to try to help encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. In your faith. You see, that's the important part, is our faith. Look at verse number 4. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. Paul said, we told you that. We told you that it was coming. And so it came to pass, as you know. And basically, Paul said, and it happened that way. And you know that. You know that it happened. And then look at verse 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your what? To find out about your faith. To find out about your faith. Now notice what he says next though in verse 5. For fear that the tempter or Satan might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Let me tell you what Paul's fear was. That Satan might be successful in weakening their faith. My concern today, and I will tell you, Satan's having a field day today to weaken our faith. Please, please, from my heart to you, now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to draw back. Now is not the time to say, oh me. The call for today is to lean in a little bit more, to fight a little bit more, to fight a little bit stronger. And how do you do that? On our knees, praying, reading and studying the Word of God, and warning those that are lost how desperately needed in their life Jesus Christ is. Please listen to me this morning, because judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You know, the prophet Isaiah penned these words for us. And here's what he wrote. He said, the people draw near with their words. As God gave Isaiah these words. The people draw near with their words and they honor me with their lips. But their heart. Is far from me. Folks, listen to me. We can put a show on that, on the outside. But don't forget, God sees what's on the inside. God sees the heart. And my dear friend, when the heart and the action don't line up with each other, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You see, spiritual health, I'm afraid of today, has been emphasized by nothing more than some positive profession or this super confident description of health or prosperity or other second blessing instead of a a true heart of faith, and of communion with a holy and a living God. Folks, it's not about prosperity. And oh, by the way, there is no second blessing. And you can have the most confident profession that there is in the world, but until, first of all, there's been a confession of the heart and a repentant spirit and a repentant heart, there is no salvation. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know, everybody talks about having a life verse. This verse that just defines their life for them and who they are. I guess Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 would be one of those in my list of many. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and say this to you this morning, okay? If somebody were to ask me, what's your life verse right here? It's the whole thing. But Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I spent a lot of time with. And I want you to notice the first part of the verse. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with him in his death. Death to the old. Death to the old man. Death to self. Death to all of those things. I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live. See, I don't live to myself today. I don't live to my own desires today. I don't live to my own will today. Sometimes I try, which always gets you into trouble. Because when you start down that path, you become a miserable soul. But the next phrase of that verse says, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. And this is the realization that you come to in the next part of verse 20. And he lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Live by the what? Oh, there's that word again. Isn't that amazing? There's that word again. I live by the what? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. If I can encourage you with something this morning, please listen to me. If you're a believer today, grab hold of your faith. Strengthen your faith. Find your rest in him. And I know some say this all the time. Well, Brother Robert, you don't understand. You just don't understand where I am. I'm on the end of the rope where the knot is. And not just the knot at the end of the rope, but there's a little string that comes off of that knot, and there's a little knot at the end of that string. And that's where I am. So what am I supposed to do now? And let me say this to you. This is easier said than done today. This is the most difficult thing that you will do. Is just to trust him with it. Is just to trust him with it. That is easier said than done. But I will say this to you. When our faith becomes stronger, it becomes much easier to rely solely on him. The reason that we have such difficulty relying solely on him is because our faith is not to the place that it ought to be. So where's your faith today? Let me ask you a question. What if they shut us down? Huh? What if they shut us down? Did you know one of the strongest churches today, you know where it's located? underground? Are they reaching people with the gospel more than you'll ever know or realize? Folks, listen to me. It ain't about this building. It's not about all the technology. It's not about these pews and chairs. It's not about positions. It's about faith in the living God and who He is. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know this, okay? Yeah, the same God that in Paul's life, the same God of Timothy, the same God of Abraham, the same God of Jacob, the same God of David, the same God of Obadiah, the same God of Amos and Micah and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Daniel. Yes, that same God. Are you ready for this? He's the same God today. He has not changed. Let me share something else with you. Did you know that a firm and a steadfast faith and commitment to the things of God will help encourage and strengthen other believers around you? Did you know that? It will. It is faith and not works of legal obedience that releases divine power to the life of the believer. You know, when I first came to Ascension Baptist Church, which was a few years ago, it's been a little while, one of the things that I noticed when I came to this church, I had never witnessed in all my years in the ministry, was the love and the encouragement that ones had for each other in this church. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. As a matter of fact, I used to go out around, when I first got here, I used to go out around town, and I remember the first time I went to the cleaners and I asked somebody, I said, you know, well, they asked me, I was trying to start to make relationships in town. You know, I was the new kid in town. So I went to one of the cleaners over here on 44, and they asked me, said, so you're new here? I said, yeah. I said, we just moved over here, and I'm the pastor of Ascension Baptist Church. And they go, of where? I said, Ascension Baptist Church. And they said, Ascension Baptist Church, where is that located? And they were from here. I said, over there on Airline Highway. They said, well, I'll have to see if I can notice it the next time I go down Airline Highway. I said, that ain't going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. Folks, listen to me. One of the things that I shared with this church when I first came here is what you had here you need to guard and be careful with, because we could lose it. We could lose it. The love, the concern, the encouragement, the blessing. You know, and I've talked about this a lot. Wouldn't it be great to come into this place and knowing that when you walked into this place, boy, you were going to, who can I help encourage today? Who can I come alongside of and just be a blessing to today? To help build up somebody today that just, Holy Spirit, just lead me to somebody that just needs some encouragement today. Let me ask you a question. When we come into this building, do we walk into this building with that attitude of our heart? Or is it an attitude of heart that ought to be left outside the building? Awful quiet in here. Folks, if I can encourage you today, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You see, this faith builds on the sacrifice of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us while we were still an enemy of his. It's called grace. And it's simply amazing. I love you. I am thankful God allowed me to come here and serve at Ascension Baptist Church for the years that he has. And no, I'm not resigning this morning, so don't think, okay. Some of y'all are looking up here at me like, okay. God hadn't called me anywhere else but here for us to serve alongside of each other. But if I can encourage you with this morning, it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. What do I think about 2021? Only God knows that answer. But I can tell you this. With the people that are sold out to him, get out of the way and just watch what God will do. Are you ready for that? I am. Even with its difficulties, I used to say this when I first came here. I don't want to sit on the bench. I don't want to sit on the bench in the ball game. Matter of fact, I don't want to play in the field. You know what I want to do? I want to bat. Do you want to bat today? Do you want to be involved in the game today? Our faith is what's important. Our faith is what's important. Father, I thank you for the privilege and